Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read verses 12 through 15. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Here in this passage, we have Paul the Apostle speaking or writing to Timothy. I want to go through this passage, but mainly verse 15 in detail, to pull out everything that the Apostle to the Gentiles is telling us by inspiration of the Spirit of God. First, he tells us in this verse, verse 15, this is a faithful saying. This word here means a trustful or a trustworthy saying. What Paul is about to tell us is something that he is a believing saying. The saying is faithful, but the one that this is said about, that is Jesus Christ, was faithful to this end, as we will see. So what we read in this saying, that it is faithful. It is faithful in that he who did this was faithful to do it. But not only that, he also says it is worthy of all acceptation. This saying deserves all our attention. It deserves all our belief. It deserves all acceptance. That is from man, for sure, but this is also worthy of acceptance of God. It says all acceptation. And we know God Almighty accepted what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did because he was faithful to the covenant made with the Father. So what is a believing or faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptance? First of all, Christ Jesus came into the world. To know what is being said here, we must know who Christ Jesus is. We all know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So we know that Jesus was a man. But this is not the whole truth. In Matthew 1 and verse 20, we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Jesus Christ was fathered of God Almighty. What we get from this is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But Scripture goes on even further with this. What does Jesus Christ tell us himself? In John 10 and verse 30, he says, "I and my Father are one." Who is Jesus Christ's Father? God Almighty, the Creator of all things. In John 1 and verse 3, we read, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus says here that he is the same as God the Father. They are one. It is Jesus Christ that created the world and all that is in it. What does this mean? This means that Jesus is God. So not only is Jesus a man, but he is also God. Not two separate entities. He is not God and man, but he is the God-man. God manifest in the flesh. Now, there's something else here it says. It says Christ Jesus. So who is the Christ? The word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. The Christ is the one for which the whole scripture speaks about. It is that one that spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden and said to them that her seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. This is what that chosen one, the anointed one, would do. This is confirmed to us in the New Testament. It is confirmed in many places, but we read in Matthew 16, if you'll turn with me there, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says this, but Jesus confirms it in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2, verses 25 through 30. Let's see one more place where it talks about the Messiah. Luke 2, verses 25 through 30. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ the Messiah is that one that was promised to come which would defeat Satan. Genesis 3:15, which we've already mentioned before, says, and I will put enmity, that is God, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, that is Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So what is it that this Jesus, this Christ, came to do? The Messiah, the word means. Throughout all of Scripture we read that the Messiah was come to do something specific. It says here in our passage, it says, to save sinners. First of all, this statement necessitates two things. We first have to have sinners who will be saved. And then we have to have a Savior that saves these sinners. We can just see, just by looking at what Paul says about himself in this passage, what a sinner is. Not everyone is a sinner, though. That is, not everyone thinks they are a sinner. Being a sinner is not just a talking point where we read a passage and apply it to all mankind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This statement is certainly true. But being a sinner is much more than thinking all men are sinners. Jesus Christ himself tells us, he that is whole need not a physician. When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, it says in Mark 2, verses 17. He is not talking here about physically sick people as opposed to those who have good health, because it goes on to say, in verse 17, it says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There are those who think themselves to be righteous. I said they think they are. They may have these thoughts, or may even say something like this, I'm at least not as bad as so-and-so. Or, I have not been that bad. Or, I'm a pretty good person. They may think or say this, but they are dead wrong. We know that Scripture tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verses 9 and 10, it says this, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before both proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you think you are righteous, and that is righteous before a holy, just God, we are not talking about righteousness before men. We are talking about righteousness before a holy, just God. And if you think you are righteous before a holy, just God, then you do not need that great physician, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Also, Scripture tells us that our best deeds, that is, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in God's sight. Isaiah 64:6 clearly declares this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Being a sinner is that one whom God has moved on in mercy, and that moving in mercy causes those to be cut to the core, to be brought low in the dust. These are they that know themselves to be a sinner, no matter if there's not another sinner around other than them. Just as the publican said, and would not so much lift up his eyes to heaven, he said, Lord, be merciful, that is, propitious, to me, the sinner. We can read what Paul says about himself in verse 13. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. It says, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But he says later in the passage, in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Jesus Christ, that is God, was longsuffering towards Paul himself, is what he's saying. Jesus Christ died for him while he was yet an enemy of God. A blasphemer, persecutor, injurious. But in time he came to Paul, who was yet breathing out threatenings against God and his people, it says in the Acts of the Apostles. And God put his face, that is, Paul or Saul, put his face in the dust, physically and spiritually. God changed Paul, that is Saul's, mind about his righteousness, his own personal righteousness that he thought he had. He, that is God, stripped him of all righteousness, leaving him naked before God and unable to do anything. He is telling us that he was a sinner, and in fact, the prototype of a sinner. That is, he really sinned against God, and he knew what he was. and he knew that he did this in and of himself. If we see ourselves just as Paul seen himself, an enemy of God, then it just might be, we might be starting to see something. Maybe there is still hope for you if you are seeing this. But thank God this is here that Christ Jesus' whole purpose for coming into this world was to save sinners. This coming from a truthful saying which is worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world for the express purpose of saving sinners. So if you are not a sinner, and I mean like the publican, like Paul the Apostle, such a sinner that you know you are the worst of all sinners. If you are not a sinner, then Jesus Christ did not come into this world for you at all. What does it take to be a savior of sinners? First of all, God is just, and sin will not just be brushed under the rug. God will not just wink at sin and say, it's okay. God is a just God, and Scripture says He will not at all acquit the guilty. So where does that leave me, who am a sinner beyond any doubt, or you if you are a sinner in this way? I say it this way because it is not just a matter of saying you are a sinner. It is not just about repeating after someone that you are a sinner. You are a sinner if you know yourself to be one. You can feel it to be so. You can taste it to be so. Knowing that if you die in this state, that God will surely condemn you to death for eternity. This is being a sinner. God is infinite, and He does not change. Man is finite and changes all the time. Man corrupts God's way all the time, as we are born in Adam. Mankind's heart is desperately wicked, and we cannot even know it, it says in Jeremiah. So I cannot do that for which He has commanded me to do for life before Him. That is, keep God's law. Scripture says that all the law is, to me, is death. It only shows me how dead I am. That is, totally incapable of keeping God's law in order that I might have life before Him. In fact, Scripture says that if a law could have been given which would have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law. But the problem is not with God's law. The problem is with mankind, that is, human beings, that is, men and women. We have no ability to keep God's law, none. Not keeping God's law is sin. Since we do not have the ability to keep His law, this condemns us to death. We have no way to change that ourselves of our own ability. So how is it that this Savior of sinners will save these sinners? If we have no ability to obey God, and we have broken God's law, and that is evident that we have, then how can Jesus Christ save sinners? This is that one which was from the beginning. He is that one where Abraham, speaking to Isaac, when Abraham was going up to offer on the mount, was going up to offer up Isaac. He told Isaac that God would provide Himself a sacrifice. God must have payment for our sin against Him. The only payment for this is blood. A sacrifice had to be made. But it was not just any death or any sacrifice. This sacrifice had to be spotless, no blemish in or on this sacrifice. God will have the best. He does not want some lame, blind, or halted sacrifice. Only a spotless lamb would be well-pleasing unto God the Father. Him being God, that is, Jesus Christ, kept God's law perfectly. So He was the spotless sacrifice. So since we have no ability to please God, it cannot be us that can pay the price for sinners, even for our own sins. We do not hold a purse big enough for this purchase price. We are so full of imperfections and blemishes. If we are to die for our sins, we would have to die eternally to satisfy an eternal God. But Jesus Christ coming down to this earth, it teaches, he condescended. The Lord of all glory confined himself to a womb of a virgin for around 9 months. He purposed to be born in such a place that he had very little. He walked this earth and worked with his own hands. Probably had dirt under his fingernails. He sweat just like you and I. Yet he did not complain about his circumstances, not one time. We are talking about God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He went to the cross being beaten for no reason, being spat upon, given lashes, and all this was done to the extent that his visage was marred. You could not even tell who he was once all this was done. And he never opened his mouth to anyone for anything that they were doing to him. But this was not even the worst part. The part for which he was set like a flint was about to come. That time when there were 3 hours of darkness, in the which he hanging on that tree cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was he forsaken of God? Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He was made what you and I are by nature. And we read this clearly in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he that is God made him, that is Jesus Christ the Son, to be sin for us. For who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then in complete power and authority, he said, it is finished. Also in complete power and authority, he raised from the grave and he ascended to the uttermost. Salvation is not due. Salvation is done. Complete. Finished. Before God Almighty got a hold on me, I was going about to establish my own righteousness. I was going around doing. But once this sovereign God got a hold of me by his power, his authority, his purpose, his will, I started to see that all my doing was vain and nothing but filthy rags in his sight. But he also enabled me to see that salvation was already done. He accomplished it on that tree. He told us he did. He said, it is finished. That is the gospel. And knowing this, that is the gospel, or rather knowing him, he will make you free indeed. You cannot will or choose to come to him. Scripture says in John 1 and verse 13, of those who know Christ, who have been given life by God, it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You will only do this if he is willing to do so. If it is he that has purposed to save you from your sins. If you are one of those who he chose from before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ, that is God Almighty elected Jesus Christ, that is he chose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the elect of God. And then he chose us in him. If he is not willing, then he did not come into this world to save you. If you do not like this, or you do not agree with this, it is just evidence that this is so. All for whom he has done this will in time be bowed down to him by his power, by his authority, by his will, and will confess with their tongue before men. Jesus Christ is Lord. It tells us in our passage that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. From the preponderant testimony of Scripture, we see this has been done. It says in Matthew about Christ Jesus that he shall save his people from their sin. We see that he was crucified on that tree, being the perfect, spotless Lamb, who was made sin for his people, being forsaken of God the Father. God forsaking God. I cannot explain that. He, proclaiming to us that salvation, which Scripture says he would accomplish. It says that he would save his people from their sins. And it was complete right then when he says, "It is finished." Him then going to the heavenlies, being seated at the right hand of God, saving us, that is, his people to the uttermost, us being seated at God's right hand with him. There is no choice to make. If the choice by God was not made for you from before the foundation of the world, then Christ Jesus did not come into the world for you. But if God, having chosen you in his Son from before the foundation of the world, then sending his Son into the world to be made sin for you, and now sitting in the heavenlies making intercession for you, then salvation is yours. He will in time give you life, letting you know this. Are you a sinner? If you know yourself to be a sinner, Scripture tells us by a faithful saying, a saying that is full of believing and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? On WBBA CW at 12 noon, you will hear one of our Sunday morning messages broadcast. If you can't see that, if you can join us here at Sovereign Grace Chapel, we are in Beaver, West Virginia, just a little past Little Beaver State Park. Turn on Country Club Drive and then on Annabelle Lane. Listen in or join us and hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified proclaimed.